Parshas Ha'azinu, Tavshin Pei Aleph. First year of the new year, 5781. Hopefully this year will be a better year than last year as we finish up the Parshios HaTorah with Ha'azinu and Vizos HaBracha in the coming weeks and conclude the cycle of Chamisha Chamishay Torah. So to start off with the Parsha, we'll just discuss a nutshell. It's a very, very unique Parsha, possibly one of the most unique parshas, at least from certain aspects. And that's A, in the style that it's written, and B, the content as well. It's a very short parsha, but it's a shira. Ha'azinu is a shira, it's a song. It's a 70-line song in the Torah, where Moshe is delivering to the B'nai Israel his final speech, basically, his words of wisdom, as he's about to leave the world and go back to Shemayim. So he starts off, Ha'azinu Shemayim v'adaber v'sishma ha'aretz merfi, that he calls upon heaven and earth as witnesses that they should be edim to what he's about to say. He goes ahead and he tells the people, it's almost like an Osi in the Ramban, it's like a Jewish history lesson. You'd like that, Lior. It's like mamish, like recapping all of Jewish history, the past, the present, the future. It's all there. And he goes ahead, tells them to remember the days of old, the years of many generations, ask your father and he'll recount it to you, your elders, and they'll tell you how Hashem found them in a desert land, and he took care of them, he made them a people, he chose them as his nation. He kind of retells the whole story of Klal Yisrael, and was going to promise them Eretz Yisrael. What?
He tells the whole story of Klal Yisrael
in
one
part. Yeah, and in a short one. And then the middle of it though is very bad. You know, it talks about against what will happen if bad things will happen if people have too much and they have plenty and they get fat with their materialism and their gashmias and they're gonna forsake God and forget about Hashem and all these terrible things and the terrible calamities that will happen as a result. So it's not all like glorious and beautiful and like a praise of Klal Yisrael. It starts off good, ends off good, so the bookends are nice, but the middle is harsh. And it says that the calamities that are going to happen is basically where Hashem is going to hide his face, that we're not going to be able to see the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's going to be hard to see the Ribbono Shel Olam in the world. And in the end, though, Hashem is going to go ahead and he'll avenge the blood of his servants and be reconciled with B'nai Israel and Eretz Israel. And so it concludes on a very positive note, at least the Shira part. And then it just, the Parsha tells us that Hashem tells Moshe to go up to Har Nevo, where he'll behold Eretz Israel before dying on the mountain. And he'll be able to see, at least see, get a little taste of Eretz Israel, but he's not going to be able to go there. Into the special land that his children are and his B'nai Israel is going to inherit. So to start off with tonight, you know, it's really a unique parsha. So we're going to spend some time talking about the parsha in general, but just to start off with one nugget, a beautiful golden nugget on the parsha. Nuggets are always good to have, especially this one. So if you look in the source number one, Pasuk and Hazinu tells us Parak Lamed Beit Pasuk Tes. Because Hashem's portion is his people Yaakov, the lot of his inheritance. So if you look in source number two, it quotes a Maisa from the Gruff, from the Vilna Gaon. Hagun Rechaim Yevoloshin Hayimiskashe B'mayimar HaTanah Dvei Eliyahu Rabba. So the Rechaim Yevoloshin was bothered by the statement of Tanah Dvei Eliyahu Rabba, which says, Achas Miyidos Rishah HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yamidas Sameach B'chalko. The Tanah Dvei Eliyahu tells us that one of the midos of Hashem is to be happy with his lot, meaning the Ribbono Shel Olam is happy with what he has. And obviously we should be too. But he was bothered. What does that mean? How could you say Hashem is happy with his chelko? Hello, Hashem has everything. Hashem has the Shemayim, the Aretz. Everything belongs to him. There's nothing he doesn't have. So what does it mean, chelko? Chelko is the whole world. There's nothing that he doesn't own or have. A person, when you say it about a person, he should be happy with the car he has, he should be happy with the house he has, he should be happy with the job he has, he should be happy with the family he has. Okay, it makes sense. Well, I have this, and the other person has that, but the Ribbono Shel Olam has everything. Everything belongs to Ribbono Shel Olam. So yes, the Gra, Rabbi Agra, Zeh Hashiva Mikra Shalano. And he responded with our Pasuk. What's the answer? Ki Chilek Hashem Amo. The chilek of Hashem, what is the chilek of Hashem? That he's sameach bechelko, that he's happy with his portion, this portion, what portion is it? Our pasuk in Hazinu, Amo. Rotze lomer, mahu hachelko shakadosh baruch hu, ashru sameach botamid, Amo. Hashem is happy always with his lot, with his nation, with Bnei Yisrael. Perish ha'davar shakadosh baruch hu, sameach b'Yisrael b'chol matzvehem. Meaning, what's the explanation? What was the girl saying? That Hashem is happy with Bnei Yisrael in whatever level, whatever situation they're in. Even if sometimes they fall spiritually, and they're not on the greatest level, and they're not observing Torah and Mitzvot the way that the Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to, and the way that we want to. Nevertheless, we're into the depths of Tumah. Still in that situation, he's happy with us. He doesn't regret choosing us as his nation, choosing us as his people. So that's a beautiful taich in the pasuk. Ki chilek Hashem amo, the chilek that Hashem is sameach bechelko is amo, is us. He's never, you know, he might want us to improve our ways, but he's never going to regret or be upset with the choice of Bnei Yisrael as his people and the fact that we are the nation of the Ribbono Shel Olam. A beautiful idea to start off the night from the Vilna Gaon. As we move on, it's very interesting. If you look in source number 3, the Rambam actually quotes in Hilchos Tefillah a din. He says in Parak Zayin Halacha Yigimel, Yesh mekomos shenogu bahen likras b'chol yom, achar shemavarchin yishtavach shiris hayam, v'achar kach mevarchin al shema, v'yesh mekor shekorin shiras ha'azino. We don't do this, but the Rambam says that there were places that had a minhag to read Parshas Hazinu every single day as part of davening. We know that there's a couple of shiras. There's Az Yashir, there's the Shiras Miriam, the Shiras Be'er, but then there's also there's Hazinu. And the Rambam here in Hilchos Tefillah and it's based upon a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah really, but the Rambam here tells us Yesh Mekor Shekorin Shiras Hazinu. Some recite Shiras Hazinu every single day. And when we see that Rambam, it makes us think that obviously means that there's something really unique, something really special that this Parsha is about, that this Parsha has to teach us and offer us. So let's delve into some of those ideas. Says the Ramban. The Ramban here is an amazing Ramban. You know, whenever you hear of these different proofs of God, proofs of the Torah, so Ish HaTorah has them, and they're incredible, they're amazing, they can blow your mind about the Torah's spelling out and detailing which animals are kosher, not kosher, the signs of the animals, and telling us a list of them that's exhaustive and complete, and that's never changed. The teva of the animals was what it was, hasn't changed since then, and there are no other animals that aren't mentioned in the Torah that we've discovered.
Torah tells us what animals we can eat and what parts of the animals we can eat, but the Pleiskin came and told us there can't be a mum in the animal. You have
right.
To respect the whole animal. The whole inside of the animal
has to be kosher. 100%. That's exactly right. But the two signs that it chooses cud and it has split hooves, those, whatever the Torah tells us, the animals that have one of those simanim and not the other, those are the only animals that are like that. And the only way to have that wisdom is for it to be divine. There's no way a person would, you know, how would a person thousands and thousands of years ago, if it was altered by a human, chas v'shalom, people think that, you don't know that. And the Ramban says, though, that this here is another proof in our parsha that the Torah is divine, that the Ribbono Shel Olam authored the Torah. How so? So the Ramban, at the end of Parsha Hazinu, says as follows. He says, Hine, Hashira Hazos Asher Haya Banu La'ed Emes V'ne'eman. That this Shira, which serves for us as a true and faithful witness, Tagid Kol HaMotzos Osano B'Veyor, relates explicitly all that has occurred to us over the ages. Meaning it tells us the history of the Jewish people. Hiskira Tchila HaChesed Shas Yimano HaKadosh Baruch Hu Me'az Shela Kachano L'Chelko. It mentions first the chesed that Hashem did, that He took us as His nation. Hiskira HaTov Shas Olam B'Bibar tells us the good kind deeds that Hashem did for us in the desert. And that He gave us as an inheritance the lands of the great mighty nations. And all the abundance of goodness, wealth, and stature that He granted us as the Jewish people. And then it says, despite all the good that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us, we went ahead, we rebelled against him, we worshipped idols. And it tells us how angry Hashem was at us. To the extent that he sent us terrible things, hunger and pestilence, wild beast and sword, and then he scattered us throughout the world into the Dal Kanfos Ha'aretz, and this is the Kilan of the Ramban. It's well known that what? That all of this prediction has materialized and it has become so. But when? When did that come true? That would be Ovdei Avodah Zarah. That we would have a Beis HaMikdash destroyed. That we would be dispersed throughout the land. Not when Vahazina was written. Says the Ramban, the Amr HaShira, Ki Vasof Yashid Nakam Letzarah L'Masan of Yishalim. The song then says that ultimately Hashem will return vengeance upon his enemies. And in the end it says that they'll all get retribution. They'll get paid back. That the enemy committed all the evils against Bnei Yisrael out of the hatred for Hashem. They didn't hate us. This is a big Yisrael in the Ramban also. The enemies, our enemies, the people who are so Bnei Yisrael, the anti-Semites, they don't hate us because we don't do Avodah Zarah and like them. Because we did do Avodah Zarah like them. Because we tried to be like them, we copied them, we went away from the Ribbono Shel Olam, and now, we're doing Avodah Zarah. That's not why they hit us. Rak Shalei Yaseh Kamaaseihem. It's because Bnei Yisrael won't do as they did by accepting their gods. V'yavdu es HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'yishmeru es mitzvosav. Sorry, I think I'm misreading this. V'atam. And the reason, you see where we are, V'atam over here.
The Goyim hate us. My Rabbi taught me.
And that's what the Ramban says. They didn't hate Bnei Yisrael because Bnei Yisrael practiced Avodah Zarah like them. Rather, they hated us. Why? Because Bnei Yisrael would not do as they did by accepting their gods, but instead worshipped Hashem and observed His commands. They wouldn't intermarry with them. We wouldn't go ahead. We wouldn't, we wouldn't eat from their Avodah Zarah sacrifices. The Yavuzu Avodah Zarah Shalahem Yivaru Osam Koseihem. They scorned the idols of the enemy. We destroyed Avodah Zarah. We destroyed their idols. If there was a mitzvah to do it. V'chein en shamar ki alecha haragnu chol hayom. Im kain l'sinaso shel Kadosh Baruch Hu yasu kol haraos ha'ila. So they did it out of their hatred for Hashem, for the Ribbono Shel Olam. They hated the Ribbono Shel Olam, and they commit all these evils against us. V'heim tzarav masav. And that thus they're aptly described as his enemies. Meaning, why is the Ramban calling? Why is the Ramban saying they're Hashem's enemies? These people did it because they're against the Torah, against Bnei Yisrael, which is really against Hashem. So they're Hashem's enemy. We need to go ahead and Hashem then is saying he needs to avenge himself against. And so the Ramban keeps going on, and we'll just conclude with the last line of the Ramban, and the Ramban it's amazing. He says that this Shira, the fact that everything came true, Hashira Hazos Haftacha Mevoras Begula Hasida, the fact that everything came true, meaning the nations of the world hated us, and then we were kicked out of the land, and we were dispersed, and we are now in Galus. Well, the end of the Shira says that Hashem's going to go ahead and pay back the Goyim, and we're gonna be reunited with the Ribbono Shel Olam. So the Gula Hasida is also guaranteed from the Hazinu at the end, because if the middle came true, the bad parts, which we're in the middle of, and have lived through all these centuries in Galus, then the end is going to come true also. And he says that's what Sifrei says as well. Gedola Shira Zu Shiyesh Ba'achshav V'yesh Bala Sha'asha Avar V'yesh Bala Asilavo. The song is great, says the Ramban, because it has within it words concerning the present, the past, and the future. V'yesh ba olam haza v'yesh ba olam haba. And it has olam haza and olam haba. And that's what makes this song so important. It's the shira is like an all-encompassing shira. It's not just talking about one experience or one isolated incident. It's all of life. It's olam haba, it's olam haza, it's the good, it's the bad. It's everything. It's the reality. It's the past, present, and future. It's all of Klai Yisrael and the Ribbono Shel Olam summed up in one. And that's perhaps by the Rambam says that they used to read it every single day because of the centrality of the Shira. And that's the idea that the Rambam mentions at the end of the Parsha. So moving on. So the first pasuk says, so let's read the first pasuk, Perek Lamed Beis Pasuk Aleph. Hazinu Hashemayim Va'adebei Rav Esishma Ha'aretz Imreifi. Listen, O heavens, Moshe is talking. Listen, the Shemayim. He's talking to the Shemayim. And I will speak, and let the earth hear the words of my mouth. So Rashi says, Hazinu Hashemayim, Sha'ani Maser Bahem B'Yisrael V'tiyu Atem Eidim Medavar. He says, I'm going to go ahead and warn Klal Yisrael, and I want you, the heavens and the earth. Moshe is talking to Mamish, the Shemayim and the Aretz, and he wants them to be the heavens and the earth. And the Rashi continues from the Medrash. Moshe says, I'm just flesh and blood. I'm a human being. My time is going to come. I'm going to leave the world. The Shemayim and the Aretz, they're always going to be here. They'll always be able to testify that I warned Bnei Israel. They'll always be around the Dari Doros. The Shemayim and the Aretz will outlive and outlast any human being, and will always be able to be witnesses about what I said. So that's why I'm calling upon the Shemayim and the Aretz to be witnesses and to be able to bear testimony in the future about what I said. So Rav Soloveitchik in source number 6 has a beautiful idea on this. He says, why did Moshe need to go ahead and invoke heaven and earth to witness the covenant that he made with the Jewish community? So Rashi quotes the Medrash, and this is a different Medrash. So Rashi quotes another Medrash as well, which explains, the heavens asked the Jewish people, have you ever seen the sun rising in the west and setting in the east? Have you ever planted wheat and reaped corn? Meaning, what does that mean? Nature abides strictly by the laws that were implanted in it. By following the laws of physics, chemistry, and biology, the world follows Hashem's law. No one dares violate the dynamics of the cosmos as represented by the heaven and the earth. His primordial will created and regulates all creation, both organic and inorganic matter, intelligent beings as well as the beasts. Nature behaves in accordance with regulated patterns of behavior which attest to his absolute sovereignty. Yet, as far as the moral law is concerned, Hashem's sovereignty is not universally accepted. Man tries to devise his own moral code and decide on his own what is good and what is evil. The vision of the Malchus section of Rosh Hashanah liturgy expresses our belief that man will ultimately accept his moral law in the same way that he now acknowledges the natural law. Moshe, here's the answer, invoked heaven and earth as witnesses because exile from Eretz Yisrael is not a punishment per se, what he mentions in Ha'azinu. Rather, the land itself by its nature does not tolerate sinners. Eretz Yisrael cannot handle people who are chote, people who do sins that Eretz Yisrael is not cut out for them. Imagine trying to plant a fruit from a subpolar region in Eretz Yisrael. You will fail. It's impossible. The land isn't fit to be able to do that. Like any geographic zone, Eretz Yisrael is fit for only certain plantings. You can't raise plants in Eretz Yisrael that need a different climate, different geographic conditions. Similarly, Eretz Yisrael simply doesn't tolerate sin. If exile was a punishment that came from God, we could depend upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu's grace and mercy. He would wait patiently for the sinner to come back. Meaning, he would let them stay in Eretz Yisrael and do teshuva. Just wait. Just keep waiting until you do teshuva. But that's not the case. But not in this case, says Moshe. The land will simply throw you out. A person who eats food he cannot digest will vomit, whether he wants to do so or not. An organism rejects foreign bodies that it cannot assimilate. The same is true of Eretz Yisrael. Climatically, naturally, geographically, Eretz Yisrael cannot tolerate sinners, and that's why Moshe called heaven and earth to testify. So it was a message to the Bnei Yisrael that when they get exiled, it's not a sin. It's not a punishment per se. The Ribbono Shel Olam is telling you Hashem made it. He created a law in the nature of the world that Eretz Yisrael cannot tolerate sin. So if you sin and go astray and go against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're going to have to be exiled. You're going to have to leave Eretz Yisrael because you're not going to work there with the laws of the nature, of the spiritual laws, and how Eretz Yisrael operates. And so you're going to have to be exiled until you do teshuva and are zochet to come back. So one beautiful idea from Rav Soloveitchik. But another really beautiful and inspiring idea is from the Nesiv HaShalom on this. So Nesiv HaShalom, the Solanim Rabbi says, he quotes the Pasuk, he says as follows. Diber Hashem medaber tamid el Yehudi. Hashem is always talking to the Jew. Bechol ha'itim v'chol ha'matzavim v'chol chelkei ha'adam. V'Yehudi lahazin l'shmo tamid l'kol Hashem. Hashem is always talking to us and sending us messages. It's upon us to listen to Hashem. Ha'medaber eila b'chinas esh v'ma'idaber Hashem. The Svarim HaKadoshim bring down this mashal. I've seen it quoted, I think, in the name of the Gra also. Lamelech Sheshalach is Bedolam Merchakim. There was once a king who sent away his son to a very faraway place. Makom She'oyve HaMelech Nitzayim Sham, a place where the king's enemies were present. Umitoch She'amelech Yivdei Kibonon Nitzav HaSakana. And since the king knew that his son would be in danger, Eino Ozu Afilu Rege Echad, he never left him. When he sent them out of the kingdom, out of the palace, out of the area where the king's domain was, the king still made sure he was protected all the times. At all times. He was always there with him. And we tell Hashem, and the king was always thinking about him. And he was always feeling the pain and worried about the tzar, the tzaros, the terrible things that the son might have to deal with. But he always felt stayed connected to the son. Nishmas Yehudi says the Nesiv HaShalom, this is the story of the neshama of the Jew. Asher mikise kavod chotzo lagur be'eretz arava. Asher kol yirei olam hazeh he'mechinas oyve ha'melech. The neshama is sent into this world, and everything in olam hazeh is like an enemy to the king. Harei ha'kadosh baruch hu medaber eilav tamei v'hu kosher le'asher yizbarach ha'yidei devar Hashem. But the neshama, because the neshama though keeps its connection. The neshama is the prince. The neshama keeps its connection to the melech, to the Ribbono Shel Olam, despite the fact that it has all these oyvim around him all the time, all these enemies around him. V'yehudi tzarech ladas. A Jew needs to know, says the son of Rabbi, the fact that when Hashem is talking to us and He sends messages to us all the time in different ways, that when things happen to us in life, when the Ribbono Shel Olam sends us a message, even if it seems like it's bad for us, it's coming from a Yedid Nefesh Avarachman. It's coming from the Ribbono Shel Olam who wants only good for us. He wants the best. He's always worried about us. He's always thinking about us. And just like the king never forgets about the prince that he sends away, and he's with his enemy, he's around, surrounded by enemies, he's always worrying about him, he's always protecting him. So too the Ribbono Shel Olam as well. He's never misiach das from us. The worst thing that a Jew can do is to think that the Ribbono Shel Olam isn't worried, isn't concerned with them, is misiach das from them, that he forgot about them, he's not thinking about them. That's the worst thing. And umargish kimushlach chas v'shalom with Neis Baruch, that Hashem, you know, is angry at them and sent them away and threw them away, and that he's no longer interested in them. So he says that this is the Baal Shem Tov says, the Chazal tell us, so this Baskul that calls out every day to us. Shehikshel says, the Baal Shem Tov said, what's the point of this Baskul, says the Baal Shem Tov? Have you ever heard the Baskul? I don't think you've heard it, Aaron. I mean, I haven't. Maybe you have. I don't know about you, Lior, but I haven't heard the Baskol. I've been alive 32 years. I'm still waiting. What?
Talking to our neshama.
So that's the Latzidi says. The Tirate, so says the Baal Shem Tov. Shehirhirei tshuva ha-mis'ari tamid v'lev Yehudi heimei koach ha-baskol azos. Exactly. That when we have a hirei tshuva, when a person has that spark, that moment of inspiration, from wherever it comes from, that's that baskol. Because Hashem is always talking to us. So a person, mamish, feels like an aliyah, wants to have a geshmaka davening in shul that day, wants to go ahead and decides before he says the bracha, I'm not just going to run through it, but I'm going to stop, hold on 1 second, I need to remember to have kavanah, I'm going to have geshmak kavanah when I say this bracha. That's that baskol speaking to the neshama. Asher tafkido sheyehudi rak lahatos oizin l'kol hazev l'lot l'tchoso. The only thing we need to do is use our ears to listen. Hazinu Hashamayim v'adavera. We need to listen to the Baskel. We can't push it away. So he says that's you know what this Hazinu Hashamayim, that the Shamayim is always sending us messages. And Sha'adam Yesh Bochil. Okay. Then he says here beautifully. So he explains, and this is the last ideal quote from the Siv Shalom here. But he says that what is the change in the Lashon? Ha'azinu ha-shamayim v'adaber v'sishma ha-aretz imrefi. It goes from a Lashon of Tivoy, a command to the Shamayim, to like passive, that the earth will hear. He says, Chazal say that Adam yesh bo chelek hu kemalach. We know that a person has a part of a malach in him. He has a neshama. V'yesh bo chelek shu behema. And we also have the animalistic side to us. We're made up of gashmias and ruchlias, fused together. V'al zemir ha-kosru shal kol chelke ha-adam l'shmo ha-ez divar Hashem. What the Pasuk is telling us here is that the entire essence, all of man, all of us, the Ruchnius and the Gashmius side, the Behema and the Malach, the Neshama and the Guf, need to listen to the Dvar Hashem. Ha'azinu ha'shamayim ba'adabera. So what is it when it's a Lashon Tzivua that the Shamayim should listen and I'll speak? Him ha'ivar ha'yonim ha'shamayimim ha'moach ba'aliv. That's specifically talking to, it's not, this is, it's homiletical, it's a drash. It's talking to those spiritual parts of the body. The moach, the brain, and the heart, the emotions, the lev. They should go ahead and listen to the messages from the Shemayim, to the Ruchnius messages. The Sishma Ha'aretz Imrefi, Heima Ivam Ha'aretzim Ha'chomrim, Shemoshim Sa'adam Ha'atiyas Ha'chamiras Ha'taivos. When it says the Sishma Ha'aretz, so if the parts of the body that are Shemayim, the Moach and the Lev, listen to the Tzivui, listen to the Ribono Shel Olam, so then it's going to go ahead and trickle down, have an effect, the Sishma Ha'aretz, then the parts of the body that are Artzios, the Gashmias parts of the body, all the other parts, the liver and the stomach and the knees and the legs and the rest of it, all the Chumrius and Taivios, all of them, it's going to be Hashem, it's going to have an impact and affect all of them, and Hashem's talking to all of them. Okay, so he goes on, he continues there, but that's the idea, is that a person needs to listen with his spiritual parts, meaning his emotions, his intellect, his moyach, and have it impact and influence and inform all of the decisions that he does with the artsius part, with the body, with the gashmius of a person, with the behemoth side. So that's the double, the lashon is we need to, it's a tzivoy on the ruchnius part of the body, and will automatically, sishma ha'aretz, imrefi, then the Gashmi's parts will Mamela go ahead and as well follow those messages. So beautiful idea from the Slon of Rebbe, after quoting the idea from Rav Soloveitchik, and so we will move on now to the next idea. So the next idea is a little short, but great. It's an idea from the Sfas Emes. Pasuk says Yarov Kamata Lichbi Tizal Katali Rasi Kisiri Male Deshev Chirivivi Male Esev. My lesson, meaning the Torah, will drop like rain, right? This is a very common metaphor for Torah as water. My word will flow like dew, like storm winds on vegetation and like raindrops on grass. Very poetic, beautiful song, part of the Shira, before it gets into the middle of it. This is still the good part. So Sfas Emes writes as follows. So he talks about, what does it start off with, rain, and then talk about dew? So well, I'm afraid I should discuss this. What does it mean? Yairav kamater lichbi tizal katalim rasi. Says, ki betchilat tzrichnu hilachim v'lulma bitocha kishoy. First, a person needs to go ahead and fight. You need to work hard. You need to learn out of difficulty. Doing Torah, learning Torah, doing mitzvos at first is very, very hard. It's not easy to sit down and break your teeth over a tosfos. It's not easy to go ahead and to try to take a Kabbalah upon yourself to be machmir in a certain area, or to start doing a new halacha that you just learned about that you didn't know about previously. It's hard. It's hard to keep the Torah. V'achar kach, though, zochem lios tizal kital imrasi. But afterwards, it's going to go ahead and will flow like dew. It will become easy. Kidiita tchiloso mar v'sofo matok. Like we know that in the beginning it's bitter, it's hard. V'sofo, in the end, it's sweet. It becomes delicious. It becomes delightful. Says Sfas Emes that what's the mashal? It's telling us that at first Torah is like rain. Rain comes, it drops, it goes ahead, it can pour, it can damage, it can hurt, it can be very. It's not easy. It's not easy. Even a drizzle, there's droplets coming. It's coming and it's hitting. But then it turns into tal. Tal is just there. The tal, the dew is on top. It's there. It flows. It's beautiful. So the Torah turns into that, transitions into something beautiful. We have to go ahead and keep our eyes on the prize, keep our eyes on the goal at the end to get to the katal, tizal katal imrasi. Even though in the beginning, it's going to be maybe like matar. It will be like a rain. It will be like a storm. It won't be so good. Beautiful idea from this Sfas Emes. Pasuk later, next pasuk. So we're going Aleph Beis Gimel here. Pasuk Gimel. Ki Shem Hashem Erka Hava Gadol Eloheinu. When I call out to the name of Hashem, ascribe greatness to Hashem. So this is the source we know for Birchas HaTorah, and the Gemara Nedarim pretty famously tells us the following. Gemara in the Dor and Pe'alfam and Aleph. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, my dechsiv, b'miha isha chacham b'yavin, as those, they were trying to figure out what was the cause for the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So the pasuk says, what is the pasuk talking about when it says, who is the wise, that the person that understands this? Davar zeh nishal chacham levinim v'lo pirshu. So they asked the chacham and levinim, and they didn't get an answer. Ad she pirshu HaKadosh Baruch Hu bi'atzmo, until Hashem himself explained, dechsiv, Vayomer Hashem al azvam as terasi, because they left my Torah, they forsake my Torah. Hainu lo sham v'koli, hainu lo hochuba. Hainu lo sham v'koli, hainu lo hochuba. So, wait a second. They listened to your voice. They didn't go ahead and follow it. So, it would appear that's what that would mean. But no, it says, Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, she'in mevarchim b'Torah tchil. That they didn't go ahead, and they didn't say Berchos HaTorah before they learned. So they were following the Torah, but they didn't say Berchos HaTorah properly, because that couldn't be the answer, that they were Ozevis HaTorah, Lo Shamu Bakoli, Hainu Lo Lochuba, that they didn't listen to it. That's not true. They were listening to it. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav has to come along and say, Eimavachim Batar Tchilot. They didn't go ahead and say Berchos HaTorah first. So it's a famous Ran, but it's always good to do Chazar on this Ran. So the Ran goes ahead and he discusses, what does it mean exactly that they weren't Mvarech Batorah Tchila? And he says what it means, and we'll just go over the key line in the Ran. Okay, time of Kedusha. So he says as follows. He quotes the Chud Matzas Migel Star Mishael Hermit Yonah. He quotes the pasuk, the Misa Alasam as Terasi. So he says, when they asked the Chachamim, why wouldn't they know it? Fine, okay. And he goes ahead. Klomar shelo haisa haTorah chashuva beinehem kol kach shehei roi levarech aleha. They didn't think Torah was so important to them that they should have to say a bracha on it. Shelo hayu oskim ba l'shma. They weren't osik in it l'shma. Kach hayu mezalzim beberchasa. And therefore, they're mezalzim. They went ahead and disgraced the bracha. V'hainu lohochu ba klomar b'kavanasa l'shma elu divrei harav achasid zal v'imnayim ruin l'misha amram. So the Ran proves of this explanation. What does it mean? That the Birchas HaTorah that we say before Torah is what gives us chashivus. It's what makes us, it shows that we realize that this is a tzivoy from Hashem. This is what we're excited about, to learn Torah. It's something that's important to us, something we want to do, something we're happy to do. And they didn't do that. And by not doing that, it was not just, oh, they didn't say a bracha, so the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. It was indicative and implied what kind of relationship they had with Torah. It was a much greater understanding and reflection of what was the relationship to Torah at the time. And to them, Torah wasn't important. They kept it, they did things, but they didn't do it for the right reasons. They didn't do it, they weren't doing it properly. And that's the issue, and that was the beginning, maybe, of the Chataim, we can say, that, you know, that was the beginning of what led to it, because Chazal, different places give different reasons that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. But this was a much greater reflection, so it just shows us the importance of us, we say Birchas HaTorah, when we learn Torah, to just try to have Kavanah, to realize the Chashivas of it, that we're being Misaki Nechet, that Bnei Yisrael did, that caused the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Every time we say Birchas HaTorah, it's a gevaldige thing in the morning, you know, to just think about that for 1 second. That idea is a very, very powerful idea. So Rav Asher Weiss, though, has a different idea. He quotes, Hinei Tzarech Biri. What does it mean that they weren't Beirch HaTorah Tchila? That they weren't Baruch Hu Klal. So what does it mean, Tchila, specifically? So he says as follows. Nir B'zeh L'fima She'eir Ha'ari Shonim. Right, so he says we can go ahead and learn from the Rishonim, where they go ahead and explain the difference between Birchas Hamazon, benching, and Birchas HaTorah. Halarach shtei brachos elu menatarahin. These are the only two brachos we have in the Torah that are midor raisa. Umanish don azumizu. So what's the difference between benching and Birchas HaTorah? Birchas Hamazon mevarchin la'achar Hamazon. Birchas HaTorah zmana l'fnei ha'tamud. We bench when? After we eat. We say Birchas HaTorah when? Before we learn. When it comes to food, so we only have to go ahead and thank Hashem after we got the food. We ate the food, we feel good, we feel satiated, we feel full, we're not hungry anymore. So we can go ahead and thank Him. Because an animal, a person, the animalistic side of a person only feels good once it feels satiated. And only then is it going to express its hakar satov. But learning Torah, which is, this is very similar to what the Nesiva Shalom is saying, is an action of the seichel, it's the mayach, it's the brain. The kod and kabbalah satov is yavin zoso. We know what we're going to get ourselves into here. It's going to be gevaldik and amazing. So there we go ahead and we do it beforehand. Before Bechas HaTorah, we say the bracha, and in contrast to benching. So he says, "In ze elu l'shalcha shal Torah." This is only to go ahead and praise Torah. L'shenach ha-nefesh ha-sichli sh'netzor l'lecha b'yachas ha-Torah l'fnei ha-Talmud. Sh'mishum sh'ha-nefesh ha-maskel sh'ha-shu'efes l'chemdos ha-levovos v'noam ha-neshamos turnin tarunen v'tishpach and l'leisin ha-Torah od kodem sh'yoma n'ashe'in kein b'nefesh v'hami v'rdez l'anshagos l'lecha b'toyve k'alechad. So he says, basically, it's a positive maila for the Torah and the person's sichlius that we're able to appreciate and recognize and thank Hashem because we know what it is before we're going to do it. And it's a praise. It's a beautiful thing for Birchas HaTorah that we do it petchila. So he says as follows. He tells the story about Yonatan Eibschitz, the Baal Hatomim she'achad me chashuve hakal she'yashav samach lebet filaso sham. Sam el libo sheha hagoner of Yonasan Eibschitz ain't a mevarich b'boker birchas shalom asani goy. So he noticed, somebody noticed that Rabbi Yonasan Eibschitz wasn't saying the bracha. He would say, "Oh, birchas hashachar." He wouldn't say shalom asani goy. Lacha shekach nesemetzes l'yom yom. After every day, he would see this. She shitof be'atzar as chashuve hakilo. Kasher shalu bechadara gedola as pierav a pasher minhago. So he has, what kind of minhag is this that you skip this bracha? Hezbir lahem, they explain. So he asked them. They explained to him, "She'inu misugal la'atzer benafsho u'milavarich brachazu at she'agil lebeis haknesses and lemiad bekuma meshnaso unat uvenatol yadav." That Rav Yonasan Eibschitz wanted to go ahead and say this bracha. He couldn't wait. He didn't want to be mitzar his nefesh to get to shul to say shalom asani goy, to be so happy that he's part of the Am HaNivchar, that he's part of Klal Yisrael. He couldn't wait. He couldn't wait from the moment he woke up to get to shul to do it. It was too difficult for his neshama, for his nefesh. He wanted his nefesh to be happy right away. So he had to say it before. He had to go ahead and say it earlier when he was at home. The first thing he would do, first bracha, shalom asani goy, in order to go ahead and to express that feeling of the neshama. And it's the same thing he says by Birchas HaTorah. We can't go ahead and wait to express our bracha after we learn. Rather, it has to be beforehand. So that's pshat. Back to our question. What does it say, Shelo Baruch HaTorah Tchila? Why does it say Tchila? It should just say Shelo Baruch HaTorah. Efshar Devemes Baruch HaBerchas HaTorah. It could be they said Berchas HaTorah. Velo Baruch HaBat Betchila. Could be it's a Diak in the Gemara. No. They said Berchas HaTorah. They just didn't say Tchila. Elo Acher HaTamur. Kederach Shemavarachim Alamazon. They said it as what? As if it was benching. Maybe they said it after they learned. Maybe they said it in the middle of learning or later. But they didn't say it the right way. They didn't have the right appreciation and perspective on Talmud Torah. Velo they didn't have a difference. There was no distinction between the material things in this world and Torah and things that are nitzchus, things that are eternal. Beautiful idea. Beautiful idea from Michos Asher. Just the importance, the way we value, the way we treat, the way we go ahead and our perspective on Torah has to be so important, so critical in our eyes. It has to be something has to be something that we get a simcha from, that we get a hana from, that we are excited to do, we're looking forward to doing. We do it beforehand, we say the bracha, not afterwards. And that's the diak of tchila from the Gemara. So here's another answer here, but we'll skip it for now. So two more ideas for tonight. Last idea is not so much on the Parsha, just an idea, maybe going to Shabbat Shuva we could take with us. So the Pasuk says, and this is a wild vart. Pasuk says, Perek Amavez, Pasuk Zayin, Zechor Yemos Olam, Binu Shnos Dar Vador, She'al Avichav Yagecha, Zekenach Yom Duach. Says the Pasuk, you should remember the olden days, the days of old, reflect upon all the generations. Ask your father and he'll tell you, your elders, and they'll inform you. Okay. So, Shem Yishmuel has a an incredible idea. Something, here's some like food for thought, not just like a Dvar Torah, but something to like go ahead and really contemplate and think about. Zechor Yemos Olam Bino Shnor Dar Vadar, says the Shem Yishmol, Nir Lefaresh Al Pi Divrei Ibn Ezra. So he says we can explain this based upon the words of the Ibn Ezra, the Shem Shana, that the name is Shana, the word Shana, Nigzar Miloshon Shinoi, comes from the Loshon of change, of Shinoi. So when it says Binu Shnois Dor Vador, it's not talking about going ahead and understanding the years from generation to generation. It's understanding the Shinoi from Dor Vador. Says the Shem Yishmol, Hine Yodua Od Dechol Dover Nivchan Rak Mitzad Hipuch. This is the Yesod in life. It's a big Yesod that everything can only be understood from going ahead and understanding its opposite. If there was no darkness in the world, then you wouldn't be able to go ahead and to appreciate and recognize what light is. And if there was only light in the world, then we would have no idea what darkness is, and we wouldn't understand the concept of darkness. Says the Shem Yishmol, the same is true when it comes to the essence of the Dor, the essence of our generations, the essence of the Jewish people. That if we didn't go ahead and have generations that weren't good, we need to go ahead and have positive and amazing generations in order to go ahead and to go ahead and say the pechisus dor tar be'inav mitzvus lorachatz. You need to go ahead and appreciate, understand what it is, right? There's a concept to agree with the Sadoros, that every generation is different than the generation beforehand. That there's some generations that are like malachim compared to the next generation, which are like humans. Okay, so he says that you have to contrast generation to generation to understand good from bad, to understand one generation that was good from one generation that was bad. So he says, "Ach harochas derasinu l'umas hakodmim, af shezos levad mevia toalas shelachol apachos yada shechaser lo mishlemos hanoshis v'lo yachacham betzadik v'ina kama shekazim hine nishbat oscha al amrasi lo chasati." So he says, not only do we go ahead, we know that there's a difference in the generations, that it's the generations were not the same as the ones before us. A person needs to go ahead and be misbonin, lashon in the pasuk, binu shnos dor vador. He needs to go ahead and be misbonein b'shinoi hadoros madua nishtana l'chapes achar sibir she'avil. Why did things change? Why is our generation different than the generation before us? Why aren't we on the same level as them? What is different? And it's something for us to really think about. The shinoi. That's what the pasuk is telling us. And he says, in litlos asiva dach rashi alfa yisrael. Don't just put it on the leaders. K'demashmi rashi. Okay, then he says as follows, his last point that I want to highlight. He says, don't look at the big things either. The big things to say, oh yeah, we have technology. They didn't have technology 100 years ago. Pashut, they didn't have technology 100 years ago. Shkoyach. We have these nisyonos, you know, with the way people dress, and they didn't have that 80 years ago in a shtetl. Shkoyach, yeah, they didn't have that. That's true. But he says, that's not what we look for. Yesh l'chapis achar shinoi kal. Not sure how, you know, what he's referring to exactly. We need to think about it, and that's the food for thought. You should think about the shinoi kal. Shinase bein hador shelo hirgushu shebishvil shinoi kal kazeh yardu plim. It's the shinoi kal. It's the small changes. Don't blame it on the big changes and the drastic things. It's the small nuanced changes. The shinoi kal that's there. V'yisatzmu v'yisamtsu l'salik es ha-shinoi hazeh. And we need to remove it. And that's what the pasuk says: "Zechor Yemos Olam Binu Shnos Dor Vador." We need to use bina. We need to use wisdom, but not just wisdom. We need to even dover mitoich dover. We need to try to compare the two and really discern the difference, understand the nuances between the generations, to try to understand how we can improve our generation, we can improve our actions, and be more like our ancestors who are on a higher madriga than us. That's a beautiful bar from Hashem Yishmuel, and the pasuk is Zichor Yimos Olam Binu Shmos Dervador. And to conclude, as we go into Shabbat Shuvah this week, so just an idea from the Sefer Emunah Bitachon, from the Chazon Ish. My Rebbe's quoted this over many times at Konigsberg, and I think it's a very important idea. So he says, you know, we're all focused on tshuva now, trying to get into that, hopefully by now already in the beginning of that zone, try to really work on ourselves. And, you know, it's hard year after year, we go through this, and then after Sukkot, we're kind of back to our old ways, and we went through the Yom Nirayim, hopefully we were inspired, hopefully we were uplifted, but did we really change? Did we really go ahead, and what's different about us? And so we can take an insight from the Chazon Ish, and try to maybe learn from it and then apply it with probably best way is taking a Kabbalah upon ourselves, whether it's something very, very small and unique to you or something small and that's good for, you know, everybody, whatever it is. But the only way to really change is to make a Kabbalah upon yourself something. If you're not a Kabbalah upon yourself, then you're going to go ahead and not accomplish. So says the Emunah Bitachon, tells us a huge yisod in life, in Teres Hamidos. He says, he quotes that there are various midos. There's kas, there's gaiva, there's taiva, there's avas akava, there's avas anitzuach, nekama, tzaras ayin, mechayotzi behem. And he says that because of hergil, nikba believe rabim sheb emes hashlimus hibalas ivarim nifradim. And because, you know, as this, it's become common for people to think that many people, by many people, that perfection is made up of different parts. And he says, "Omnom ze emes mitzad chali hanefesh mitzad mareches sakra keneged mushchatusam." He says it's true when it comes to illness of the neshama, when it comes to finding ways to fight bad things. That's true. Aval b'shorsham, but in the root of all midos, ein kan rak mida achas tova umida achas ra'a. Says the Chazon Ish, in reality, in when it comes to our midos in life, there's really just one source of it all. Hamida harahi hahaznacha esachayim hativim al mahalacham hativi. The bad trait in everything, the root cause of all the bad traits in the world, of jealousy, of taiva, of kavod, of avas hanitzuch, of avas hakavod, all of it is leaving the natural life to its natural processes. Uvli kol hishtadlus yishtali b'midas aras kulam. And if a person makes no effort to the contrary, he'll become skilled in all the bad traits. You kasim mitzvian, naikim mitzvian, geim mitzvian, chin hala. Lo yechzalok mikol midos haraos shemano chacham u'ma. Says the Chazon Ish, the key line, that the one thing, b'sharsham, ein kan rak mida achas tov mida achas ra, is what? Hamida ra hi haznacha es achayim hativim al mahalacham hativi. Is to let nature run its course. If a person goes ahead and just lets his natural way of behaving, of responding to something, of his inertia, of his laziness act, then yeah, all the midos rois are gonna come out. We need to fight against that teva to be lazy, that teva to get angry at somebody when we're provoked to get angry at them, that teva to be jealous of somebody when they have more than us, and we see it. That's teva. That's nature. If we let it go, then yeah, we're going to be a kaisen. We're going to be a jealous person. We're not going to work on our midos at all. But we need to fight against that teva. We can't let teva run its course. That's what the Chazon Ish says. Whenever teva comes up in your head and, oh, this is how I feel about something, fight it. Think, I don't want to feel that way. I'm not going to because X or because Y. But you have to fight the teva. The teva, letting teva go and continue, is going to go ahead and get you to all the bad traits of Midos Ra'os in the Torah, the Chazal to say. It's a vart from the Emunah Bitachon, the Chazon Ish. So perhaps we can think about one small area that we can work on in Bein Adam HaChavero, maybe one small area in Bein Adam HaMakom, and take up a Kabbalah. If we don't take a Kabbalah upon ourselves, then you know we'll never go anywhere. We'll never get anywhere. So we should think about it, and we still have some time until during the Aseret Yom until Yom Kippur. And Shkoyach to everybody for joining. Everyone should have a Gemar Chasima Toiva. And a beautiful Shabbat Shuvah.